Good morning, Darby Creek, and I hope this finds you well. Hopefully we'll be able to meet together soon. That's what we're praying for. But wanted to give you a couple announcements here this morning before we roll to the worship time that Caleb Miller and Shelby Cornelius have prepared for us. So one thing is this, I just want to remind everybody to go to our website, darbycreek.org, and check out the announcements there. If you click on the announcements button, there's a whole listing of announcements that I think would be relevant to anyone that's attending Darby Creek, that's a part of the church family, and also others who might be checking us out. You might want to know what's going on. So check that out. We've been sending out a lot of email announcements here over the last couple of weeks, and some of those end up in the announcements. And so I just don't want you to miss anything. So make sure you go to the website, darbycreek.org, and click on the announcements button. So the other thing is, I just wanted to thank everyone who made arts and crafts to share with the folks there at National Church Residences in Lincoln Village. I think also at least one iPad was donated there for people to communicate with those outside. And also, you know, this is kind of cool because I was in touch with the same person, her name is Taylor there, that we have been coordinating with getting these items to the residents there. And they're very open for us to do a Zoom Bible study there with the residents. So hopefully you can be praying that we get all those details and technical things worked out with them. So that should be a neat way to minister to people who aren't able to get out and also are not able to receive any visitors. So we have an opportunity to serve our community in that way. So anyway, that's all those announcements that I have for you just to give verbally, but don't forget, go to the website, make sure you click on announcements to see the rest of those. So let's go ahead and let's sing along with Shelby and Caleb.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We're just going to be leading some worship for you all. We're going to be singing very loud. We're going to be singing praises to our God. And we're just hoping that wherever you are, whether it's in your kitchen, your living room, wherever, that you would join us in singing praises to our Lord.
All right. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on him are radiant. They'll never be ashamed. They'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds his saints. He will deliver them. He will deliver them. Magnify the Lord with me, come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me, come exalt his name forever. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is he, yeah, who hides in him. Oh, fear the Lord. Oh, all you saints, he'll give you everything you need. Magnify. Thank you. just bless the Lord every day and night, never ending praise. May our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night, never ending praise. May our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night, never ending praise. May our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night, never ending praise. May our incense rise. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt His name together. comes from the Lord. From the Lord. From the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from.
Psalm 147, starting in verse 3, says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble and casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth, and he makes grass grow on the hills." The things that strike me about this passage are, number one, that God is attentive to our hurt. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He is aware of the difficulty we're going through right now, and he is working to heal us. The second thing that strikes me is that God is the one that is sovereign over it all. It's through him that the sun rises every morning and that we have breath in our lungs to even sing to him. And I think both of those things are very encouraging for me during this time, and hopefully are things that you can hold on to as well. Walking on the water, even when
you for worshiping with us today, and we're going to hand it back to Pastor Greg.
Thanks, Shelby and Caleb, and we really appreciate you guys leading us in worship this morning. I would like to just pray together here and ask God's blessing and help here in sharing the word with you this morning. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you are with us. You have not forsaken us, and just like the songs, the words of the songs we just sang, and you're always with us. You are a very present help in trouble, and you're our strength. You're our strong tower, as the scripture describes. And thank you, Lord, just for your presence with us. And I pray this morning, as we get into your word, as we look at the fact that you are unchanging, even while other things are changing all around us, Lord, that you would minister to us, you would help us. Also, just lift up people in our church family who are not well, who need just your healing touch. We pray for them, even family members we're aware of that we've been praying for. Think about the email prayer list that's been going out, praying for our family members that are ill and seriously sick. We pray for healing for them. And also just pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you in this time, that we would lean into you and know what it is you want us to learn, even from the experience that we're having now, just with having to restrict travel and contact with others and so on. We pray, Lord, for your help in learning what you want us to learn. And Lord, we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so this morning, I just wanted to share with you some scriptures that really, really lean into this truth that God is unchanging. I happened to be reading some of J.I. Packer's book this week on knowing God. And one of our small groups that I was a part of went through that book a couple years ago. And just a tremendous book. It's definitely not a fast read, but just was struck once again with the importance of really us having an accurate knowledge of God as he's revealed himself in the Bible. And in fact, one of the things that really struck me is that, let me get my arrows here. One of the things that struck me was this verse here that's mentioned in Daniel 11:32, and it is speaking about Daniel and the people at that time. Speaking of, it says, "But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action." And just what an interesting verse, isn't it? That the implication there being that if we really have a solid and accurate knowledge of who God is, and he has revealed himself, of course, in the scriptures and through the person of Jesus Christ. And if we know the scriptures and we learn about who Jesus is through the scriptures, we'll have an accurate knowledge of God. And when things happen, when things that are difficult come, we will, as it says the scriptures here, that it says the people who know their God shall stand firm and, will be on solid ground. They will not be easily shaken and take action. Isn't that sometimes what we need to know in a crisis or in a difficult situation? We're really like, God, what do I do? What should I do in response to what's happening, or even what's happening within us, you know, as we experience feelings of anxiety and worry and all kinds of things, maybe even anger. And so if we have a good understanding of who God is, a lot of times we have ideas about who God is and they're just false. Maybe we're taking in our information from the media or books that are not accurate and we have these false understandings about who he is. And so, so this morning, anyway, as I was thinking about this, this concept that the Bible does describe God as unchanging, and just thought it would just be really appropriate for all of us as we are kind of, things are changing around us, and I was thinking about that the other day as as I'm teaching this now online class, as things were coming out from the people who are leading the course, you know, it was the information was changing daily. And just, you know, you just didn't know what was the end result was going to be. And it's all been fine and worked out good. But I was just thinking, you know, we cannot count on some things. We just, the only one who we can really count on is God, because he is unchanging. And so this morning here, we're going to take a look at some of these, you know, because God does not change, we want to take a look at some of the things that we can then realize. And the first thing here is that because God does not change, he will always be there. You know, at times people come and go in and out of our lives. Maybe they move away. Maybe they pass away. You know, it's just, these are facts. You know, and oftentimes people are unreliable. You know, we thought we could count on them. And then when the chips are down, we can't, you know, something happens and for whatever reason, they're not able to be there for us. And so, one of the incredible things about the fact that God is unchanging is that we know he's always going to be there. We can always count on him. And, you know, take a look at some scriptures here. This verse, Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And so we, that part there, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, just saying he is, he's always been, he always will be. And that's just the truth. I mean, you know, it's oftentimes children will ask their parents, you know, who created God? And of course the answer is, well, nobody, because he's always been and always will be. And we don't have any reference point for that, but that is in fact the truth. Some other scriptures that I have referenced here, but don't have printed out for you, is Psalm 102, 26 and 27 that says, they will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change, you will change them like a robe, and they will pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. Again, just confirmation of God's eternality, if you will, that he has always been, he always will be, therefore he will always be there for us. So, Isaiah 48:12 says, listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, whom I called, I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. Again, just reinforcing to us that God is always there. So just, we need to realize that, you know, created things have a beginning and end, but not so for our Creator. And so this is just something that we can really, in a sense, hang our hat on. This is a truth that is just all throughout the scriptures. Some people call it the immutability. It's God does not change, immutable. He does not change. Now, a second thing that we can learn because God does not change, something that we can really really hold on to, is that his character and his ways remain the same. His character and his ways remain the same. You know, I had a boss some years ago, somebody that I reported to, and it was a nice guy, but the thing was is that some days I never knew which version of my boss I was going to encounter. And it's almost like, you know, his character changed from one day to the next. And that was really, as I'm sure you can imagine, and some of you may have encountered before, a really strange environment to work in. But, you know, the thing is that God is not like that. Because he is unchanging, his character and his ways never change. And take a look at a scripture here. Now, this is, I'll get to this one in a second, but I just want to make a linkage here. There's a, God reveals himself in Exodus chapter 3 in an interesting way to Moses, as you recall, as God has called him to lead the people out of slavery, out of Egypt. And Moses is having all kinds of excuses for that he's not the guy. But at some point he asked, well, you know, who should I say is sending me? And this is what God says. Now, not in Ezekiel, not in Exodus 34, but listen to Exodus 3, verses 14 and 15. I'll read for you. Exodus 3, 14 and 15. God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. So this is actually the situation where Moses is going to go down and talk to the people of God, that he's talked with God. God also said to Moses, says in verse 15, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. And so this passage in Exodus 3 that I just read really reinforces the eternality of God, the unchangeableness of God. He says, I am who I am. He's the self-existent God. But then here we have in Exodus 34, where God is revealing himself to Moses. It says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So he proclaimed his name of the Lord. It says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Now listen to this. How he describes himself, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfastness, love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children, the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And so he's in the same breath that he's proclaiming his name, he is expressing his character. And so if you put that Exodus 3 and Exodus 34 together, you see this, the eternal God, that he is this way and he will not change. He is forever merciful, gracious, slow to anger. It's not like he's going to, God's going to come up short one day on being gracious or merciful, or we don't have to worry about which version of God is going to show up one day like we do sometimes with people. And so God's moral character is changeless. And so it just, to me, it's just comforting to know that whenever we come to God, he is the same as he has always been. You know, one of the reasons you think about is some people, when they read the scriptures, they read the Bible, and sometimes they feel like there's this big disconnect between them and the people in the Bible because they were, you know, several thousand years removed from them, and they can't relate to some of the things that they were going through. But the thing is, we need to realize the one constant link between us and the people of the Bible is God. And he is the one that they got to know. He is the one that revealed himself to them. And we need to, as we get into the Bible, as we read our devotions, we need to kind of be on the hunt, in a sense, to learn about how God dealt with his people, to learn who he is as he's revealed himself there, because that is the constant link. Yes, there is this, we have to traverse the time between then and now and make sure we're properly applying scripture and claiming promises appropriately and so on. But God is constant. His character is the same. So as we see his character in the scriptures, he is that way. He's still that way. So that's encouraging to me. James in the New Testament also mentions that in James 1:17, it says, speaking of God, it says, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Just again, confirmation. He's not changing ever, though we may be ones who change. So we have this these takeaways of the fact that God is unchanging is that he's always going to be there, and that he is, his character and ways are always the same. So we need to be about learning his ways in Scripture, see how he works in the Bible. And that's critical. Now, another takeaway from the fact that God is unchangeable is that he keeps his word. He keeps his word. You know, we often change our minds sometimes as people. We tell our kids one thing one day, and then we have to change our mind the next day, or we just, sometimes there are good reasons, sometimes there aren't so good reasons. In fact, I remember when my kids were little, how I was very careful to ever say the words, "I promise." And because I just knew if I said, "I promise," they were going to hang their hat on that. And that I want to be a person who kept my word. Now, I was not always perfect at it, but I did try to be very careful about the promises I made and when I said that. And so, you know, so the words of human beings they're unstable things. Sometimes we're not sure about them, if they're going to keep their word, but it's not so with the words of God. You know, they stand forever. They abide forever. No circumstances are ever going to come about where God's going to kind of recall a promise and say, "Nope, not going to keep that one." So that should be encouraging to us here. Let's take a look here at this Isaiah 40 verses 6-8, where it says, A voice says, "Cry," and I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but when the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Isn't that a great promise? The word of our God will stand forever. So even with the best of intentions, when we say we're going to do something for somebody, we make a promise, we intend to keep it, but sometimes we can't. God's not like that. Every promise in the Bible is true, appropriately applied. Every promise of God is true, and he's not a liar. Some of the other references I have down here, Psalm 119, 89, and then verses 151 and 152, it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever." And, you know, it's interesting in that verse 151, I know you can't see it on the screen here, but where it says, "all your commandments are true," that word there, my understanding is, carries with it the idea of stability, that it's solid, that you can bank on it. It's unchanging. And so we just should be encouraged as followers of Christ, and we can know that what our God has said in the Bible, it's true. He keeps every promise. He stands behind them all. Every statement of purpose, every word of warning that are addressed to us as believers, they're true. And so these aren't just words from kind of a bygone age that when we pick up the Bible. No, they are for us today. And so we should know that God keeps his promises. His word is true. And that's just another aspect of our unchanging God. Now, because God does not change, his plans stand firm. His plans stand firm. Now, this is, you know, as you think about it, we sometimes make our plans and they change. But God's eternal plans are never going to change. In fact, if you take a look here in Numbers 23:19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" And so this is just who God is. He's if he said he's going to do something, if he said, you know, he's coming back for his church, and if he said there's going to be a judgment, and these are things that are laid out and fixed, they are going to be happening. God is not changing those plans. And so we can put our hope in the future, that if we know Christ as Savior, we are safe and secure in Him. Our eternal destiny is secure. We know that we'll be forever with Him. Just all these based on promises in the Scriptures. And those plans stand. He's not going to change course on those. And there's another psalm, I'll read this for you. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. So what He says He's going to do, He's going to do. Whatever He decrees is going to happen. It's just going to happen. Nothing's going to stop that. God's eternal purposes will be fulfilled. And that's something that we can be encouraged by. Just the fact that when He says these things are going to happen in the Scriptures, these eternal plans that He has, they will happen. And nothing will get in the way of that. So, very encouraging. The other thing, this last point here, just to mention, because God does not change, we can trust in Jesus. Now, this may seem to be a departure from my other points, but no, not really, because if you think about it, Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. He's God incarnate. In fact, you know, with the around Christmas time, we read passages in the Scriptures that talk about Emmanuel, God with us, you know, the first coming of Christ when He was born into the world. Well, this is God with us. That is the idea that Christ came. He is God incarnate, God in the flesh. And so He also is unchanging. And so where it says here in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, it doesn't get any more clear than that. And so, you know, all those things that Jesus said that He had come to do, to save us from our sins, to redeem us, to redeem a people for Himself, for God, those are all true. He's not going to change His mind and say, oh, well, you know, yeah, that's not going to happen. Or all that stuff I did is just not gonna work anymore. If you take a look in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25 there, it says, but He holds His priesthood permanently, this speaking of Jesus, because He continues forever. It mentions there in Hebrews as Jesus being our high priest, right? He is the one who's constantly cleansing us of our sins and in a sense and constantly interceding. As it says here next, it says, consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him. Now, that's important. You can only draw near to God through Jesus Christ. He has made a way for us to be made right with God. That's why He came. That's why He died on the cross. That's why He rose again. Was all for us. It was to make us right with God, so that we might be able to experience forgiveness of sin. And that because our sins separated us from God, He then made a way so that we could be brought near, as it says. So it says, consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He is always lives to make intercession for them. You know, I just love that part of the verse, that Jesus Christ is always there interceding for us. And just the fact that, you know, we get these images in the Scripture that talk about how, you know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and how he's constantly accusing us before God. Look at that one there. Look how they screwed up. Aren't you going to do something about that? And you know, you can just imagine then our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, no, their faith is in Me, and therefore My blood has covered their sin, and nothing will separate them from God. And so He's just interceding for us constantly. So we can place our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, because He will maintain His character and fulfill His promise of salvation forever. And so I just encourage you that if you have not put your faith in Christ today, that you would do that. That if you've never done that, as it says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And so belief is the key, and you have to put your belief in Jesus Christ and what he did and why he came, which was to save us from our sins. Of course, to acknowledge that, you have to acknowledge that you need a Savior, that you are a sinner and you've done wrong, and that that has separated you from God. But Christ came, and he is unchanging, and anyone who puts their hope in him, puts their faith in him, will be saved, and there is no question about it. He will not go back on his promise, and so we can trust him. So, you know, we live in a fallen world, and it's really easy to be fearful, especially think about, you know, now things have just changed so drastically over the last few weeks because of COVID-19 virus you know, just changing the way we're doing things, even the way we're working is changing right now. And, you know, we just, we need to realize that God does not change, and he is the one constant that we have. And so I hope that you put our hope in him, and hopefully the truths of the scriptures on the unchangeableness of God, we could think on those things, and they would give us comfort and hope. And we might be able to share those with others that, hey, you know, you could share this with your family and friends who might be very fearful right now and very unsure of themselves. Say, listen, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about my God. He does not change. He's with me here. I don't have to be afraid. I would love for you to experience that. Let me tell you about him, and then be able to share your story of coming to faith and then God's story of salvation in the gospel. And so those are good. I mean, it's just so good to be remembered that God is unchanging. Amen. Listen, let's just close off with prayer here, and then we'll conclude. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you are unchanging. I thank you that we can count on you. You're always going to be there. Your character and your ways are constant. We don't have to worry about which version of God will show up today when we come and meet with you in prayer. And we just know that you are always keep your word. Every promise in the Bible appropriately applied is true for us. And Lord, just thank you so much that we can put our solid trust and hope in Jesus Christ being the Savior. And that if I put my hope in him, if I confess my sin to you and ask you to forgive me, and that through Jesus Christ, we can be made right with God. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. Thank you that it is a truth, and that will always be true. So, God, we just thank you for this time. Help us to be a light in the darkness this week. And we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.